It's a food in the form of a paste or solid block made from roasted and ground cacao seeds, often sweetened and eaten as confectionery. It's also one of the best bits about Easter. Of course, I'm talking about chocolate. With Easter only around the corner, I had to invite a chocolatier on the show. My guest this morning started his business at the age of 10, and at 18 years old, he has a string of awards to his name. Dana Shaman, CEO of Brock's Chocolates, joins me now. Hello, Danash. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Now, you've won many industry awards, so I think we can safely say you know a thing or two about chocolate. How did the story begin for you, Danash?
It all kind of began when I wanted to set up a company or a fundraising venture, should I say, to raise money for charity. Always very interested to fundraise. I'd been doing it from a very young age with school activities and things like that. So I thought I'd take on something, a challenge for myself. And the challenge was to kind of make some chocolates and sell them for the NSPCC to raise money for children. It all kind of began through doing that and selling them, making the chocolates in my home kitchen, and then selling them outside my dad's shop in Brockham. And that kind of got us a lot of interest, a lot of awareness over the course of 3 years I did that. Loads of people started to become aware of the brand and actually see that it was a bit more than a fundraising business. So I kind of decided to kind of take the next step. So I started to look into the industry more, kind of take chocolate on as a new level. And I kind of at the age of kind of 9, 10 was not very much aware of what the industry of chocolate kind of had behind it. And after kind of getting involved with the suppliers and all the different training organizations, I managed to really get my head around my interests in chocolate. So I started taking on all my training, and kind of everything kind of kicked off from about 3 years in, after I realized that I had a potential in kind of selling, meeting a new gap in the market for a new artisan chocolate product.
You're a master chocolatier. How easy, you've given us a little bit of a lowdown there, how easy has your journey been setting up and running a chocolate business at such a young age?
It has been. It's been difficult in ways, obviously, being at school, doing GCSEs, A-levels, and kind of getting the biggest stages of my education out of the way, as well as kind of getting the business up and running. So there was a lot to kind of take into consideration when factoring in I had to do various other things, which I'd have to miss certain lessons and things like that. So there was a bit of kind of catching up to do and a bit of kind of antisocial hours of work, should I say. But it all kind of worked out really well. Obviously now being at university as well, it's really kind of worked well for me in terms of how things have kind of fallen into place and when developments kind of happened. So I kind of mainly focused my developments around the summer holidays, where I had quite a lot of time to focus on things, and in between kind of Easter holidays and various longer holiday gaps. And obviously Christmas being the longest one. That was kind of where we started to kind of develop most of the business and things. So it kind of worked out in its own way. See what the future holds.
It sounds incredibly busy to me. I've said before, you have a string of awards to your name. You won the Outstanding Achievements and Melt in Mouth Awards, as well as the IFE Show Review Awards. So it wasn't a huge surprise to hear that you were recently paid a visit by the Princess Royal. Tell us about that, Danish.
So it was back in December. We found out Princess Royal was interested. We found out from the Royal's office that we were welcoming a royal guest. I was given the opportunity to welcome Princess Anne to see the production site, and really get to know the business, get to know what it was about and how I kind of started things. And she showed a great interest in the business and what I had done in the journey. So I wanted to meet all the people involved, our production staff, our sales staff, actually see the site and see the products for real. So we put on an event. We had all of our products out there because we recently opened the shop, so we recreated a shop there. We kind of gave her a feel for exactly how I started the whole business in the hour I had with her. We took her around, met all the clients and everyone, and we actually had a really good turnout at the production site as well.
What was it like actually meeting a royal?
Well, at the time, to be fair, I was very cold, and it was kind of a bit of a waiting game because things were going a bit late. And we were kind of waiting around. We're like, right, the sun is out, and it's the first time the sun's come out this week. So we're like, okay, well, we're at a good start, so I can deal with the cold. But the difficult thing was, is I was kind of started to shake a bit, but that was because I was so cold. And obviously there's quite a few camera people around as well. But it was a very good experience. I mean, when I got the nod from the security office saying, oh, she's coming, like she's just down the road, I was like, right, things are getting tense now. And everyone's just lined up and you're like, I just hope everything goes to plan, because you can't talk to anyone else once it gets a bit difficult. But it was a great experience. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better. It was such a good day where how everyone cooperated and how much she enjoyed actually tasting the product was just unbelievable. She just kind of loved it. So,
speaking of tasting the product, you know, for research purposes, you understand, I did go into your shop and I did buy an armful of chocolate. You know, it had to be done. It would have been rude not to. And I have to say, there's a fantastic selection. The thing I loved about the chocolate was, very often with dark chocolate, we know it's good for us and we eat it and it's just incredibly bitter. But your chocolate is not at all. Very silky. It's just amazing. Was it very difficult to come up with that winning combination?
In a sense of being difficult, I think not that difficult. I think what it was is that was the gap in the market that I wanted to meet. I mean, for the first kind of 3 years, I was doing a 54% dark chocolate and I never did anything higher. Going to a lot of trade shows, we kind of always got asked, oh, well, where's your 75%? And we just never did it. It was something we didn't do purely to stay away from the bitter end. Kind of, it was aimed at children at the beginning, and kind of moving forward, it was going on in that kind of direction, and obviously the younger adults and things. So we wanted to kind of stay away from, there's so many bitter chocolates out there, it's populated something different. So the creation behind our 75% dark chocolate was actually the way the cocoa's grown, the fruit trees that it's grown next to, which gives it the natural flavour. So we don't add any flavours or take the bitter or like change anything like that. It's purely the cocoa liquor in the first place, and the cocoa beans that we use from Tanzania and where they're grown, which gives them the natural red fruit flavourings, which enhances the flavour, gives it the silky smooth texture, and it's a bit more fruity. And that kind of overpowers the bitterness a bit. So that's how you kind of get the smooth chocolate. And it has gone down really well.
It has gone down well with me, actually. What sort of chocolate combinations are in vogue at the moment? Have our tastes changed much over the years?
I think in terms of taste, I think a lot more people are now kind of moving towards buying chocolate from a chocolatier, kind of the Belgium style, where there's chocolate shops around, there's different chocolatiers, you can go up to the counter and select your own products to put in a box and get these kind of varieties of different ganache fillings. And I think it's more the bespoke end, which is kind of booming at the moment, should we say, with everyone. The demand for cocoa, for chocolate as well, is obviously at a rise. People are eating a lot more chocolate than they used to. And kind of culturally as well, chocolate is becoming much more of a culture gift, especially for the Asian market. The traditional Asian sweets have now kind of merged towards chocolates, and I think for that market particularly, there's been a lot of development between kind of the artisan product, so the bespoke products, to kind of look like the old Asian sweets. So I think that's where the new kind of market exists, is in what does the product look like, is it bespoke, is it artisan? And I think that's where people are prepared to pay the price for a bespoke artisan finished product.
Let's talk, if we may, about the world stage. Just over a year ago, there were some industry experts warning that cocoa supplies had decreased, and they predicted there was going to be a potential cocoa shortage by 2020. Have you got an update on that story?
I think there has been obviously a lot of research and development done into this area, and I think that the main problem there was the sustainability. And I think sustainability was a very new thing at the time, and I think obviously with the Fair Trade Organization and things like that, with obviously companies getting the Fair Trade logo, but whether that product is actually benefiting the farmers is another thing. And I think with obviously about 3.5 million tonnes of cocoa being produced each year, it's a mass number, and obviously demands are increasing, but that is no, and 3.5 million tonnes is nowhere near enough for what the demand is.
That's the thing, because West Africa supplies 70% of the world's cocoa, and of course the Ebola outbreak had a big effect on West African cocoa exports, because obviously there was the turmoil of the outbreak and there were quarantine restrictions, which meant that the global production nosedived. Yeah. In the aftermath of the Ebola outbreak, has West African cocoa exports, have they improved?
I think obviously there's kind of this whole name associated to it, obviously with cocoa being produced, with kind of the definition being obviously it shouldn't be in an area with kind of diseases or various other things. And I think with obviously the Ebola crisis not being too long ago, I think there's still kind of that, you get that hit in the brand type thing. And I think West Africa have got that hit from what's happened. And I think people are kind of looking to kind of purchase their cocoa from maybe other plantations where they can get to know the farmer a lot quicker, they can offer sustainability. And I think this is all what's becoming more important, is how can I offer sustainability in my product?
Absolutely. I mean, developing nations like China and India, they've acquired a taste for chocolate, so that's going to place more pressure on cocoa farms around the world. For this business to survive, Danish, there needs to be presumably a sustainable supply of good quality cocoa, as you say. How easy is that going to be, though?
I think now that a lot of cocoa suppliers have taken on a big consideration with this new Cocoa Horizons organisation, which has formed to offer sustainability to farmers. And I know where we get our cocoa from, we're part of the Cocoa Horizons organisation, whereby we know that our farmers are getting treated right, they're getting paid right, and they're getting motivated to actually keep with cocoa and not kind of move towards other crops, because obviously the low prices, the bad weather is all forcing farmers to kind of move into other crops where they can make more money, they can have a better lifestyle. And I think what Cocoa Horizons is trying to do is stop that from happening, keep farmers, educate farmers in growth of cocoa, how to kind of improve how they grow their cocoa. And they have kind of trucks that go around which educate the farmers, educate the village, and they become a lot more aware of what they're producing, because I think farmers are kind of blind to a bit of what they're producing, and which is making them verge towards things that they definitely know how to do.
We need to increase somehow the yield for the smallholder farmers. How can we do that? Can we maybe reduce or eradicate disease and drought? Can we harness more resilient or newer breeds of cocoa beans? Would that help things?
I think at the moment it's still quite early on from when this whole case came out, and I think it would be more of a benefit to kind of use the resources we have in terms of how we're offering sustainability here and promoting that first to the farmers and getting that kind of message across before we try to kind of work on how else can we improve the output of cocoa of the country. I think first the initial stages and what they have undertaken through Cocoa Horizons myself is obviously how they've improve the lifestyle of farmers, because that is the one main thing. And I think after that, eradicating other things in the country and improving the yield is kind of the next stages. But I think at the moment it's still a bit too early, because the sustainability hasn't really got to its peak yet.
That's the thing about sustainability. I mean, if cocoa has been or is in more limited supply, that obviously will lead to higher prices, which in turn is passed on to consumers. Are some producers cutting corners to achieve a decent profit margin? I'm thinking, are they adding flavourings, less cocoa, maybe even bulking out chocolate with different oils?
I think, I mean, this goes back to the point about what is kind of in the market and what's the trend of chocolate at the moment. And the trend being the fact that people are tasting the product, taking a lot more pride in when they buy a chocolate bar, as opposed to just going to the shelf and getting one from the local newsagents. I think that puts a pressure on producers to not do that, because if they do, that's going to kill a brand. And I think it's very difficult when you've built up a reputation of a brand with a recipe, and people do notice the change in chocolate very easily. Big companies, I'm not sure if that's something that they do and they can kind of get away with it. I know with obviously various products in the past that have been offered to the mass market across the world have actually gone under recipe changes to kind of make the product cheaper, selling it at the same price type thing, and it has had a lot of marketing. There has been a lot of bad press and things like that, but I think for brands like myself, where we're kind of starting to build, we're a niche brand, those type of brands, we can't get away with that type of stuff, and we wouldn't want to, because we wouldn't be offering the product that we promise. And I think that's kind of something we're kind of going against why we've come into the market, and I think that would be a very difficult thing to do. I think we'd need to find a different supply of cocoa, where cocoa is going to be supplied regularly, we've got a guaranteed supply, and change the taste through that, as opposed to getting bad press through changing the taste because we're just adding additives or flavouring to chocolate that's unnecessary.
And like you say, we are becoming a little bit more discerning. So actually, we would probably prefer to have a smaller bar of chocolate that isn't packed out with lots of rubbish, so to speak, than the mass-produced type of stuff. We are moving in a more sophisticated circles,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and we've seen that, I mean, through opening our own shops as well, the way we offer our customers experience, obviously, taste of products and... I think that's a big thing that's now come into the market. People are wanting to taste the products and kind of experience it for themselves as such.
Danish is a fascinating subject. I wish we had time for more. I think most people would argue you've probably got one of the best jobs out there. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on all things chocolate.
Thank you very much.
That was award-winning chocolatier Danish Amin of Brock's Chocs. What a great job to have.